I don't always do what I'd like to do. But then, free determination of will doesn't mean that you can do as you please. Even an animal can do as it pleases. Free determination of will means that you've got the ability not to do as you please. That you can do, not do what you want to do. Then you've got free determination of will. But to do what you want to do, you don't have to be a man for that. You can be an animal. And also do what you want to do. Isn't that so, David? So what does it mean, Bechiro? Bechiro means to have the ability not to do what you want to do. Now, I want to start with the Gemara first. That's what I want to do. But I've got Bechiro. So I'm not going to do what I want to do. Why do I want to start with Gemara first? Whatever else you study, if you study it without Gemara, it just hasn't got any meaning. If you study history without Gemara, you make a mess of it. An absolute mess of it. You've got the best example of Gretz. And Gretz was tackled by Halevi around about the year 1900. And the whole way, you see, all these things, he just crumbled. He just didn't know what it was all about after that. If you do Drush without Gemara, it becomes bad homiletics. If you do Din without Gemara, it becomes customs, laws and customs. If you do Kabbalah without Gemara, it becomes mysticism. It's just, in Yiddish they say, gekrochen auf glatte Welt. It means you're climbing on slippery walls all the time. Can't get anywhere, you're falling down all the time. There's not no substance to it. So the basis for everything is Gemara. Chumash without Gemara is nonsense. Take anywhere in the Chumash. You shall love your neighbors yourself, and it's nonsense. So if I go on holiday, I've got to take all my neighbors with me. If I give my wife a present, I've got to give all the neighbors' wives a present. It's nonsense, you see, I'll have to let her. Without Torah, without the Torah, do you understand what I'm saying, Michael?
Gemara.
Gemara is Talmud. But Talmud is not Gemara. Gemara is Gemara. That's the best Talmud. You're going to translate it into English, it's Talmud. See? Is it an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Have you ever heard such nonsense? The Gemara itself asks the question immediately. If it's the law of retaliation, then it's got to be equity. Where's the equity? One person's got a good eye and another person's got a bad eye. So if you knock out the person's bad eye, you've got to knock out the person's good eye. And that's not an eye for an eye anymore. Can't ever be an eye for an eye. without Gemara, it's all nonsense. It's only the Gemara that makes sense of the whole thing. That is why I like doing first thing is Gemara. But there is a tendency, first of all, to do the easier things. And the Torah recognizes that. And the Torah says one should always begin a shiur with a lighter thing. A bit of Haggadah, make it a little bit lighter. The Gemara itself says so. Give something lighter. So there's a justification for starting on something a little bit lighter. But there's another reason too. And that is, it's easier to do this than it is to do Gemara. Gemara, you really are good. I notice that some people come a little bit late to a Gemara shiur. It can happen. It's a nice day. One's down at the seaside. Stay in the water a little bit longer. There's very good reasons for it. Come a little bit later. If you're going to miss part of the shiur, I'd rather you miss part of this than part of the Gemara. You wouldn't, but I would. So it's going to strike a very happy balance. And now comes the most important reason of all. And that is the Rambam himself. I've got no doubt that if I said to the Rambam, if I start doing you first, it means that they don't miss any Gemara at all. If I start doing Gemara first, it means that they miss part of Gemara, but they don't miss anything of you. Rather miss me than the Gemara. Then do me first and the Gemara afterwards. So from all points of view, it's the correct thing to do the Rambam first. Right?
So you don't want to do it.
Are we pardon?
except that you don't want to do it.
I don't want to. Who am I that you think everything must be what I want? It doesn't have to be what I want. There's no law in the Torah that everything has got to be as I want. It's the law like that in the Torah. So I've got to adapt myself. I've got to integrate. I've got to accept certain things. As long as what I do is, there's a source for it in the Torah. But I've given you the source already. The Torah itself says you start with a piece of a Agoda. From a Agoda you go to the heavy and stuff. So I've got, the source is there. Once I've got a source, it's all right. Now, what the Rambam does here, really, and I want you to know, in his Hashem, I hope that we'll have the opportunity to do this. That here we've got three pages, and I'm extremely grateful to Mark Abrams for photostatting these three pages. And we've got that. When we've done that, I would very much like to go on to a larger work that he wrote on exactly the same subject. And there he discusses many of the things that I know are troubling you. For example, if it's Torah Shebaal Peh, if it's come down, where does the machlokas come in, the difference of opinions? I think you asked me that. How does this all come in? That he discusses in his greater work. But I think it would be most inadvisable to go to the larger work and to the greater work before we've actually gone through this. Are you sharing there?
Yes.
Are you sharing? Because it was there, right, and I have an arm on my own. Now, it's what the Rambam does, and you know, every word that the Rambam says is an important matter, but you'll see at the very outset what he is doing in this work. And that is, you've got to realize that these six volumes of the Rambam, this one that I've got here, and these further five, these six volumes of the Rambam, in those six volumes, he has codified the whole of Jewish law. This was a very big move, this codification, and it was highly unpopular. The people in those days felt about the Rambam doing the work that he does, as I feel
here, Rabbi.
He felt the same as I feel when I go to a cemetery and somebody says, Rabo Shemei Dash Kadish Dal Dagis Usei Hiro. I say, what is it he's saying? He's saying Kadish. When I open a prayer book and I see this at the back, you know what it does to me? I don't learn from a prayer book like this if I can manage not. I learn from a serial. But just because of this. But look, this is the way. It's written. You know what it does to me? That is, in the Rambam day, what they felt about the codification. So codification. Have we come down to that already, that you've got to codify? You want to pick up a law, so you learn it through the Talmud. That's the place where you learn it through. And you know what is a machlokas. Can the first beer be on Shabbos or can't it be on Shabbos? And you know that it's dependent on Rabbi Yishim and Rabbi Yehudo. Is it a Dovish Eim Miskaven? Isn't a Dovish Eim Miskaven? Is it a question of Makal? Even if it's like Rabbi Yehuda, it might be Makalke. If it's Makalke, we can still say it's a Dovish Eim Miskaven. It can still be Mutalibo Bechil of Shabbos. But then we've got to be careful. Is it Dam Mifkat Pokid? Is it Dam Mikhbar Kaburi? Kaburi Mikhbar. And if it's Kaburi Mikhbar, we're in great difficulties. Because the din might be like Rabbi Shimon, that Makalke the Kaburi is Chayiv. But Rabbi Yehuda himself says the Makalke the Kaburi is Chayiv. So, alright, we go to the Amaroyim. How does Rav Paskin? Rav Paskin's like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Paskin's like Rabbi Yehuda. Is it possible that he can say that he makes a first deal on Shabbos? But he says you can. But this is too conflicting. You've got to get this right. Then you go through all that and you come to a decision whether you can have the third beer on Shabbos. That's the way you codify it. You want to know what the law is, you go through it. The Rambam puts it down the law. This is the law. You can do it or you can't do it. I'm not going to tell you to get a choice. He says, you can do it or you can't do it. So he got into very great difficulty. But before him, the Rifat already started that he did it in quite a different way. He did it according to the Gemara, he did it. So we've got, but the Rambam codified it because he saw what was happening. And the people that were very much opposed to the Rambam already in his lifetime began to accept it. But even when they were very much opposed to him, they still referred to him as HaNesher HaGodel, the great eagle. That they always said about. He was a great eagle. Now, he wrote an introduction to this work, but don't forget that this is the only codification that codifies for when the temple will be rebuilt. It codifies for the sacrifices. It codifies for the coming of Mashiach. And what is going to happen when Mashiach comes? It codifies for the state of Eretz Yisrael. Not for Medina Yisrael, but for Eretz Yisrael. When it will be a Jewish state, when it will be, he codifies for it. So he codifies for every situation. He is the only one that has codified for all that. And that is what he has done in this monumental work. But please bear in mind that there is nothing in this that the Rambam decides that hasn't got its source in the Gemara. There are a very few things that have got the source in the Gaonim, and that he speaks about, and I'll speak to you about that. But otherwise, everything that he says has got its source in the Gemara. The unfortunate part is that he didn't quote his sources. He thought, that we'll never come down as low as all that. That a person won't be able to know from where I took it. Everybody will know his commodity. Won't be able to work out a law, but that he didn't go as far as that. And even in his own day, he was asked very often from where he got it, and he always answered. There were four cases that he was unable to answer, and he withdrew from those four cases. Four cases he withdrew from. Didn't remember. He said, when I did it, I knew that I had a source. I don't remember the source. If I don't remember the source, I've got to withdraw. So he withdrew from four cases. We're out of these many, many thousands of laws.
Are they still listed within his work, those four cases?
No, well, I know. I know what the four cases are. The three you wouldn't be able to. But the one is a straightforward thing. He paskened that the Kedusha that we say between Yishtabach, between Baruch Hu in the morning, and Yoter Ol, that it's, you find it in the Siddur, we say a Kedusha, Kodesh, Kodesh, Hashem, Tzavos, Malchol, he said it needs a minion. And they ask him, from where does he get it from? There's a tshuva on the Rashbo. God, the Rashbo is just after, generation after him, two generations after him. They ask him, from where is his source, that has got to be said with a minion. Couldn't find it. Said he doesn't remember. And he withdrew from it. So that is, we say it without a minion. Those are one of the cases. There are three other cases which are very highly involved, but one example is enough. And that example is born in the Shiva Sarashpur. Now, let us start with what he says. He says, Kol ha-mitzvot she-nitnu lo le-Moshe b'Sinai, v'fei rushon nitnu. All the mitzvahs that were given to Moshe on Sinai were given. Larry, are you without that's younger Rambam?
Okay, fine.
Can you manage this?
Yeah.
The Rambam says all the mitzvahs that were given to Moshe, the Sinai at Sinai, the Feirushon Nitnu, were given with their explanation. Hashem gave the whole explanation when he said, and you shall love your neighbors yourself, that's what he's meant by it. It wasn't just you weren't just left hanging in the air, that you don't know what it means. when he said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, he explained that it was the law of compensation, it wasn't the law of retaliation. It's all explained and all the details of it. When it says, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for totefos. Totefos are frontless. I've never in all my life understood what frontless are. I still don't know. What are frontless?
Lacquers.
I just don't know what these words mean at all. So, we wouldn't know without the Torah Shemafim, without the Perush, without the explanation. We wouldn't know what tefillin is, how it must be made, what it must be, and you shall bind them on your hand. What shall you bind on your hand? So, we wouldn't have known anything. But that they're made out of leather and they're made out of batim, and how the batim are to be made, it's got to be absolutely square, it's got to be an absolute cube, and what was inside in the order of the pastures and all that, that is the Torah Shabbat. It says you must make a sukkah. All it says in the Torah is one verse. You shall dwell in sukkahs, they translate it as booths, because I made the children of Israel to dwell in blue booths when I took them out from the land of Egypt. That's all. So their laws, how it must be made, how many walls, three walls, two walls and a bit. The schach, what the schach is, it mustn't be joined, it must be vegetation, it can't be anything else. It mustn't be joined to the ground. It mustn't be something that's already been made into an object. And that cover it, although it's made from a vegetation. There are laws upon laws upon laws from one verse in the Torah. All that we get from the Torah Shebaalpeh. Otherwise we wouldn't know what it was all about. So that's what the Rambam says. Every mitzvah that is given in the Torah to Moshe was given with its explanation, Sheneemar, as it is written in the Torah, the etno lecho es luchos or even the haTorah v'haMitzvot. And I gave to you the tablets of stone, and the Torah, and the mitzvah. Now the Rambam explains it. Torah zu Torah shebiksav. What does Torah mean when the Torah says, Hashem says, now I've given to you the tablets of stone and the Torah? What is the Torah? Torah is the written law. V'ham mitzvah zu peirusho. And when it says, and the mitzvah is its explanation. And he commanded us to do the Torah according to the oral law, Alpia Mitzvah. That we must do the Torah, we must observe the Torah according to the oral law. Umitzvah zu hi hanikreis Torah shebalpeh. And this that he calls the mitzvah, which is the peirush, which is the commentary, is called the Torah shebalpeh. It's called the oral law as opposed to the Torah Shebiksav, which is the written law. So, the first two words in the third line you see, he says Torah Shebiksav is the written law, and now towards the end of the fourth line, he says Torah Shebalpeh, that is the oral law. Now, really, now begins the next paragraph. Kol haTorah kesovo Moshe Rabbeinu kodem sheyomus Biksav Yodo. The whole of the Torah Moshe wrote down before he died in his own handwriting. The Nosan Sefer Lohol Shevet Veshevet. And he gave one Sefer Torah to every single stem. I don't like using the word tribe, because whenever I use tribe, I think of the. Because they say Red Indians, I'm sorry. Native Americans. Then people think of Native Americans. I don't like using the word tribe. It's a stem. These are stems. And he gave one to each stem, Shneamar, as it is written in the end of the Devarim. Lo koach es sefer haTorah haseh v'samtem oso. Take this sefer Torah and put it before them. And this is the way Moshe Rabbeinu did. So, with this we know that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sifrei Torah before he died. One he gave to each of the 12 tribes, each to the 12 stems, each to the 12 Sforim, and one he put into the Orah, next to the Orah, actually. He didn't put it inside, he put it next to the Orah, he put it, and that is where it was kept. And the reason was that never should there be any falsification of the Torah, and never should any mistake creep into the Torah. So there were always these standard ones that were kept by each Shevet, and then there was the one that was kept in the Ark, for which the Kohanim were responsible. Yes, Mark?
Which one did the Levim have?
The Levim was the one, they were the ones that given the one that was in the kept in the Ark, the Kohanim, the Levim. That is one there, that one in the Ark, yes.
So then there would only be 12?
No, there were 13. There were 13.
But how would that work if the Levim...
I'm sorry.
Ephraim
and Manasseh. Or probably. That is, yes.
So Ephraim and Manasseh did not get their own each?
Each got their own.
And Levi did not.
And then I think that's what it was. Are there 12 tribes without, if you count Ephraim and Manasseh,
yeah,
two, then you've got 12 tribes, and then you've got the 13th. The 13th was the one that was, for which the Kohanim was responsible, and that was the one that was kept next to the order, yes?
This may be out of place, but based upon the introduction that we had for learning this over, that when Rambam wrote this down, people were even concerned about codification. Even if they call the Chomer, this seems so basic, so fundamental, that to write this material. I mean, is this something that people didn't know? Or I'm troubled. What we're learning right now.
Right, yes. This is a midrash.
Are we saying over a midrash?
It's a midrash in explained. This is the Torah Shebal-Peh explaining the word, take the Sefer Torah. It had put it before them. This is the way he did it. To put it before them, he put it before each one of the Shvatim. Without the Torah Shebarpe, we wouldn't know that. This is the Torah Shebarpe. The Rambam is the exponent of the Torah Shebarpe.
The difficulty that I'm having here is that we heard before how offended some of the Torahites of that time were that the Rambam would even codify mitzvahs, do things like that. This seems so much more basic even than that he should have to write down this material in a sefer to present to people.
Just
the
idea.
Right. The idea that the
Torah of all
men comes from. You probably know what you're
saying. Pardon?
You're
going to see what his idea is. I'll just give you a preview of it for a moment. His idea is he wants to establish the continuity. How right down to his day, there is no break, and we know exactly how it went. You see, that is what he's going to do. That is the important thing to him, and that can come out in a moment or two. But what he's establishing for the time being is how careful they were that not one thing should be changed in the Torah. And of course, this is the very remarkable thing that the Torah we've got today, there are no changes. You get a safer Torah that is being read, I was going to say Hawaii, I don't know, but let us say right in Venice, and you get a safer Torah that is being read in
Cochin, India.
In India, you get a safer Torah that is being read in England, in South Africa, you get a safer Torah that's being read in all different communities, in Turkey, in Syria. And I had a Jew from Iraq today, a very fine person, who belongs to our congregation. And he made it clear to me, he said, you know, I'm not a Sephardi. I'm an Iraqi Jew, and an Iraqi Jew is not a Sephardi. And he explained to me the differences there. But in Syria is different. Iraq is different. Egypt is different. North Africa, Spain, Italy. Well, Spain has been a break. But take Italy, Germany. There's no any safer Torah that you take is exactly the same. Any safer Torah. You know what it is for these thousands of years. You take a book that's been printed, it's full of errors. And this has been going for thousands of years, and there's been no break in it whatsoever. So that is the first thing it establishes. The Norsan Sefer Lechol Shevet Veshevet. And he gave a sefer to each stem. The sefer echod nesonehu be'orem lo'ad. And one he put, he says, yeah, into the ark, and that was there forever. Sheneemar, as it is written, lo koach es sefer ha'teure ha'zeh v'samtim ha'seh. You should take the sefer ha'teure and you should place it. V'hamitzvah shehi perusha Torah lo kesovo. And what is called the mitzvah, which is the Torah shebal peh, which is the explanation of the Torah, he did not write it. Elotzivo boli zekeinim, but he commanded it to the zekeinim, v'li Yehoshua and to Yehoshua, u'lesha'al kol Yisrael, and to the rest of the people of Israel. Now I want to explain to you how he did it. And this is written in the Gemara. He doesn't bring it here, but he brings it in the bigger work, he brings it. And I just want to tell you how he explains it, how Moshe taught it. The first thing that Moshe did was, he called in Aharon. And he took the Torah to Aharon, that is the Torah Shebal Peh. When he had taught it to Aharon, Aharon took his place to the right of Moshe. And then he called in his two sons. And he read and he taught the whole Torah Shebal Peh to his two sons.
Aharon's two sons or Moshe's?
Aharon's two sons. Okay. Aharon's two sons. And he taught it to Aharon's two sons. Then Aharon's two sons came and sat next to him. Then Moshe taught it to the Shivim Zakenim, to the 70 elders. They called them elders. They were really the body, the legislative body, were the 70 elders. They were the Sanhedrin. Then he taught it to the 70 elders. Then the 70 elders came and sat in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, Aharon, and the two of Aaron's sons. Then the whole of Israel came, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to the whole of Israel. So how many times did Aaron hear it?
Four.
Four times. First he taught to himself, then he heard him teaching it to his two sons, then he taught it to and then he taught to all Israel. Shua doesn't come yet. Shua doesn't come into yet. Shua's a youngster still. In those days, you know how old Yeshua was in those days? Well, he was a young man. I don't know if he was even 50. Heard they would come out. I don't know if he was even 50. He was a young man. Yes. So four times. After he had done it four times, after he had taught it four times, Moshe withdrew. Now, Aharon went. And he taught it to the whole of Israel. So how many times has his two sons heard it now?
Four.
Now Aharon withdrew. And now the two sons taught it to the whole of Israel. How many times have the Shivim, the 70 elders heard it now? Four times. Now the 70 elders taught it now to the whole of Israel. So how many times has the whole of Israel heard it now? Four times. Then they each went away and they each studied their papers. They went off in pairs or in groups, and they went and they rehearsed it and they reviewed it in groups. That is the way the Gemara explains it. The Rambam speaks about it. So each one, when he'd done it four times, heard it four times, was in a position that he was able to teach it. That is the way it was done.
This is the entire Torah Shebal Peh.
Entire Torah Shebal Peh.
This is a question that actually came up
yes.
today. When we talk about them learning the entire Torah Shebal Peh, does that include Midrashim?
Includes everything.
Everything.
The system was probably, and there's evidence for this, the system was probably, Bereishis Boro Elokim Eisei Shemayim Ve'Eisei Oretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the heaven and the earth. The Torah prepared of that. Then the next verse, and they went right through the whole Torah like that. Not on subjects, but on the verses.
And would it include the things that like Rashi and the portion brought down later?
Those things were all included. Those things were all included. That was the body of the Torah Shebal Peh. That was taught.
And what about Nevi'im?
No, the Nevi'im didn't exist. That only came afterwards.
Okay, at what point does the break occur?
Where
in other words, is it what I'm saying? Is what
no, we
taught
speak
true?
About that. He just one moment, give him a chance. Now, I'm sorry. And the Torah Shebal Peh, he didn't write. Elotziva bodies that came in, but he commanded it to the Kazakhanim, the Lehoshua and to Yeshua, with the Sha'ar Kol Yisrael and to all the rest of Israel. Yeshua comes under the Zakhanim. He belongs to the Sheneamar Eskola Devora Sheru Nilchi Metzavi Eschem, and so Tishmaru Lasos. Everything which I command you to do, that you shall observe to do. Umitmei ze nikreis Torah Shebal Peh. And it's called the Torah Shebal Peh. Afal pi shelo nikhtevo Torah Shebal Peh. Although the Torah Shebal Peh was never written down. Lamdo Moshe Rabbeinu kulo beveizdino leshivim zakeinu. The Moses taught it, all of it, to his beizdin, to his Sanhedrin. That was the 70 elders. The El Ozer Ufinchos, Yoshua, Shloshton Tiblu Mimashi, he brings down Yoshua also, and El Ozer and Pinchos and Yoshua, the three of them got it directly from Yoshua. There was always one person who was the guardian of the law. One person was, it was his responsibility to see that this was carried on. After Moshe, it was given to Yeshua, who was his Talmud. V'chein Yeshua kol yemei chayo lo madar peh. And so Yeshua, all the days of his life, learned it by heart. Uzakenim rabim kiblu Yeshua. And many Zakenim received it from Yeshua. The Kibel Eli mina Zakenim umi Pinchos. And Eli received it from the Zakenim and Pinchos. Now,
why did he have to put in the Yafal
Peh? Oh, just one moment. Will you just ask me that question in a moment? I just want to get the... Now, what happens here is like this. There are two... The word Zakenim is used in two senses, in two different senses. The one is, the first time it is used is, the Zakenim, the elders that he had appointed already, and were with him in the Midbar, in the wilderness. Those he taught himself, and they were the fourth group to whom he taught it. First to Aaron, then to Elozer and Pinchas, Aaron's sons, then to the Shebim Zakenim, and then to all Israel. After that, and Yeshua was in the Shebim, in the elders, in the Shebim. Then, before his death, he appointed Yahushua to be the guardian of the law. And now Yahushua was responsible to see that the tradition continued. Yahushua handed it down to each one of the judges was the person that was responsible for it. Osniel ben Knaz was the next judge. He was responsible for it. Till it went as far as Eli HaKohen. Eli HaKohen was the one who handed it over to Shmuel. And from Shmuel, the guardians of the law became the prophets. He means there that they were not contemporaneous but consecutive. The Kibel Eli mina the Kenim umi Pinchos, Ushmuel Kibel may Eli uveis dino, the David Kibel mi Shmuel uveis dino, and David received it from Shmuel and his Bezdin, the Achio Ashiloni mi Yote Mitzroim hoyo, the Levi hoyo, the Shoma mi Moshe, the hoyo cotton be made Moshe, the who Kibel mi David uveis dino. And then you've got Achio Ashiloni, who was a prophet in the time of David already. He was actually from those who went out of Egypt, but he was very young when he went out of Egypt. And he was a Levi, and he had heard it directly from Moshe. And after David HaMelech, he was the one who was the guardian of the law. And then you've got the Eliyahu Kibel Me'achiyu Ashiloni Uveis Hidira. And the prophet Eliyahu received it from Achio HaShiloni and from his Bezdin. And the great student of Eliyahu was Elisha. So after Eliyahu, it went on to Elisha. And I want to stop there because we've got to get on to our Gemara. But that is how he starts with it. Sheps, you wanted to ask me about the Afalpi. Which Afalpi is it?
Afalpi.
Yes.
Afalpi. Why you call it Torah Shebaalpeh?
Umipnei ze nikreis Torah Shebaalpeh. As the afal pi doesn't go on what went before, it goes on what comes afterwards. Afal pi shelo nichtevo Torah Shebaalpeh, although the Torah Shebaalpeh was not written, Lomdo Moshe Rabbeinu kulo beveiz dino reshivim zakeinim. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it, the whole of it, in his Beis Din to the 70 zakeinim. That's where the upper piece is.
He never really explains the other part.
No, it's called the Torah Shebaalpeh because it wasn't written down.
I don't understand how those two things follow then.
If you look at Bar Mitzvah, you start a little bit earlier. Bar Mitzvah, have you got that?
Yeah.
Shehi Perusha Torah Lokasobo. And the that which the Torah calls Mitzvah, which is a commentary to the Torah, he did not write it. Got it?
Yeah.
Elo Tzivobor is a Kainim, but he commanded it to the Zakainim with Yeshua, Ula Sha'al Kol Israel, and to Yeshua and to the rest of all Israel. So he didn't write down the Perush of the Torah. Sheneemar is Kola Dovor Asher Olochi Metzavi Hashem Oso Tishmeru La'asos. That is the proof that he commanded it to others to keep it. And because he didn't write it down, then he wrote it, it's called Torah Shebaalpeh. And although it wasn't written down, nevertheless he still taught it. It was taught verbally. Have you got the idea?
Yeah.
What do you want to ask Michael?
Moshe learned it over with... Aaron learned over with Elazar and Pinchas?
First of all, when Moshe had finished four times, he withdrew. Then Aaron started and he taught it to Elazar and Pinchas himself.
Aaron, Elazar and Pinchas, father and son. Isn't Pinchas Aaron's grandson? Isn't it Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon Akohen?
Elazar is Samar.
Right.
Samar.
And isn't it peculiar that Aaron would feel the need to teach it to both his son and his grandson, as if somehow the son was a weak link? He would just teach to Elazar, and then Elazar would teach to his own son to Pinchas. Why does he have to teach to his son and his grandson at the same time?
Here is the Gemara. You see, the Rambam won't do anything unless he bases it in the Gemara. This is what the Gemara says. Tonu Rabbono. Ketzad Seder Mishnah. What was the Seder of the learning? What was the order of the learning? Moshe Lomad Mipi HaGvuro. Moshe learned it from Hashem. Nichnas Aharon Veshono Lo Moshe Firko. Aharon came in and Moshe taught it to him. Nistalek Aharon Veyoshav Lismel Moshe. Aharon withdrew and he came and sat on the left hand side of Moshe. Nichnasu Bono. His children came in, Veshono Lohem Moshe Pirkon, and Moses taught it to them. Nistalku Bonov, his sons withdrew, El Ozor Yoshav Liyamin Moshe, the Ichomor Lismol Aaron. El Ozor came and sat here, and Ichomor went and sat there. Got it?
Rambam never mentioned
Ichamar. I'm surprised. I didn't see that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says La'ulam Aaron Liyamin Moshe Choser. Some say that Rabbi Yehuda says that he sat on the right of Moshe. That doesn't worry us at this moment. The Shonar El Moshe Nistalku Zakenim Nichnasu Kolo Om. Then they came to Zakenim. Then all the people came in. That's a bit different, which is strange. It's a little bit different, and nothing is said about that. But the funny thing is that the Rambam, in his other work,
which we've also got here,
no, Rambam in his other work, if I remember correctly, says it exactly as the Gemara says it.
What's the difference
in
what the Gemara
says? The Gemara speaks about, doesn't speak about Pinchas, speaks about Eloz and Isoma, the two sons of Aaron. And the Rambam brings in Pinchas the grandson.
But I think with Eliezer and...
No, just one moment. It's very similar to that. You see here. Yeah. Yari says El Oza B'Yitoma. Here the Rambam says El Oza B'Yitoma. This is the much larger work, you see. Yari says El Oza B'Yitoma. In his, and Yari does, Yari says, but I...
But he says it in a different way.
I've got it. Oh. What he's saying, what did you want to say?
What he's saying over here is trying to get the people from the next generation to say that they will recover
the
motion.
Yari's not giving, he's not so worried exactly what took place. That he says in his other work. What he's worried, he says, is about the continuity of it. And he says what happened was, that after this had taken place, after Aaron had learnt it, and then El Ozer and Isomar had learnt it, and then the Zakenim had learnt it, after that had happened, then what happened was it was a question of the continuity. Then he took Yehoshua, and Yehoshua learnt it, and Yehoshua was made the guardian of the law, and with Yehoshua there was El Ozer and Pinchas, and those were the people that helped Yehoshua, as Yisrael, and from there, it was handed over to, from Yeshua handed it over to the next judge until it came down to Eli. From Eli it went to Shmuel. From Shmuel it went to his Bezdin, to David and his Bezdin. From, because David presided at one stage over his Bezdin. From David it went to Eli Yohu. Achi Ashiloni. From David it went to Achi Ashiloni. From Achi Ashiloni it went to Eli Yohu. From Eli Yohu it went to Elisha. That's as far as we are taking it today. And that is what the Rambam is concerned with. That's quite right. So the Rambam, what the Rambam is concerned with here is the continuity of it. Here he is concerned with exactly what happened when it was taught in the beginning of it. That's the difference between the two. All right? Now let us get on with the one. I'm sorry.
Yes, Rabbi, you know, in the first pasuk of Pirkei Avos, it also traces
right.
It.
Thank you.
And one of the things that they've always noted was that the Malachim are never mentioned and the Kohanim are never mentioned.
Well, of course, the Malachim were not the guardians of the Lord.
And well, David was anyone.
He was the only one. He was the only one. And even with David, it wasn't quite so certain. It wasn't quite so certain how it was with David. But he was the only one. David was a warrior. Besides being a...
They also pointed out the Kohanim were not, and some of the Kohanim were. In other words, the assumption was that the Kohanim were like an executive. They enforced the law, they didn't legislate.
Not at all. The Kohanim had nothing to do with forcing the law at all. All that Kohanim were to do was in the Beit HaMikdash. They had nothing to do with enforcing the law. They were interpreters of the law when it comes to question of tumult impurities. That was their field, that was their speciality. When it came to question of kochim, it was their speciality, but not otherwise. Yes. Right. Now, gentlemen, let us get to work now.
We're going to touch upon the subject of Isaac on the Yad Shalomim.
I'll probably give you a pass. Should you be doing that? Right. Now, gentlemen, with your assistance, we should be able to cover quite a lot of tomorrow today. Please be done. We've got so far that just to sum up briefly, the subject is it permitted to make the first beer on Friday night? You're going to find it difficult, the words I use, Michael.
I probably won't spend very long.
All right, before you go away, please speak to me, will you? Now, is the first intercourse permitted to be done on Friday night to cause a wound? So we did the Gemara, it was very simple. By now it's all simple. By now we can't understand why we couldn't understand it when we first started, because it's worked out so simple. If we say dam nifkad poki, and he wants the dam, then the Pesach is memela ka'osi. He doesn't make the Pesach, he doesn't want the entrance, he wants the dam. The whole question is, but he does make a Pesach. At Pesach, the entrance is forbidden on Shabbos because it belongs to the malocha of building. Binyan. But it's also possible that it's not binyan, that it's not improvement, but it's kilkul. How did we translate kilkul? It's a worsening of her, because as a basula she got two, she got a bigger kasuba, and now she gets a less kasuba. So, it can work out all right. We went further and we said, and if we say it's dam chaburi mechba, we say it's contained, the dam is contained in the walls, and therefore, what is it he wants? If he wants the dam, then there's nothing we can do. It's prohibited. Because he makes a chabura, he makes a wood. But if we'll say la noas atzmo, all he's interested in is he wants to enjoy himself, that's all. Then he makes a chabura, he makes a wound, but the wound is a dover she'enam iskabin. And since it's a dover she'enam iskabin, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter. So the first beer can be on Friday night. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's also, he said, yes, but it might be makalkel. And if it's makalkel, Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted. Rabbi Shimon says that a makalkel v'chabur is also. In this case, Rabbi Shimon agrees that it's mutter because it's a dover she'enam iskabin. But Rabbi Yehuda says the Dover She'enam Iskabin is also not permitted. And it's kilkul, it's possible that we pass him like Rabbi Shimon, that Mekalkel B'chabur is also, maybe, or maybe we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, that Mekalkel B'chabur is mutter, so it's still a chance that he's mutter. That is how the case was presented. The next piece of Gemara dealt with two schools. We had the school of Rav and we had the school of Shmuel. The school of Rav was in Surah, and the school of Nahardor was in Shmuel was in the school of Nahardor. And these were two schools. Nahardor, I think, was on the Tigris. And Surah was higher, a little bit higher up, but they were quite close to one another. And both of these schools, of course, were in Babylon.
Rabbi, yes? Who is Pumbedisa?
Pumbedisa comes a bit later. Now, so these were two great schools in those days, and Rav and Shmuel were the students of Rabbi Yehuda Anosi, who was the last Tana, the last of the Tanoim. So Rav and Shmuel come across to Babylon, and they found two schools there. Rav found the school of Surah, and Shmuel found the school of Pumbedisa. Now, of Nardor. Now we've got a tradition, we've got the statements that were made. The school of Rav said, our teacher said it is permitted to make the first beer on Shabbos. It's permitted that the first intercourse between a man and his wife can be on Shabbos. Although he makes a wound, it can be on Shabbos. And in this school of Rav they said, and the other school, the opposition school, says it's not permitted. In the Hardor, they said exactly what they said. We say it is permitted. Our teacher Shmuel says it is permitted. And Rav says it's not permitted. Alright? Is that clear? Now, from there we can go on. So the Gemara says, so Rav says it is permitted to make the first beer on Shabbos. But this seems rather strange, the first beer on Shabbos, but he makes an entrance or he makes a wound. So how would we answer that normally?
One option would be to say that he believes in Dorish in the Kabbalah.
It's a Dorish in his Kabbalah and his mutter. That is the way we'd be forced to say it. Now comes a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, V'Rav Shori. Do you mean to tell me that Rav says it was permitted to make the first beer on Shabbos? But Rav says that in the case of the Mesuchrayot in the Zayso, the case of where you've got on Shabbos, you've got on Yom Tov, it is. You've got this big barrel of beer. And as a stopper, what is used as a stopper? The rags are used as a stopper. So, of course, these rags, when they are used as a stopper, are filled with, are soaked with beer.
So he wants to have beer on Yom Tov, so he takes out the vase and he puts the container here, and he catches the beer, and now he's had enough beer, and he starts putting the stopper back, the vase back, and he's mahadek. He pushes, forces it in, and as he forces it in, the beer starts coming out, it's saturated with beer. That is chito. That is squeezing, rinsing it. And squeezing, rinsing it is not permitted on the Shabbos. So, Rav says it's not permitted. So but he doesn't want the beer that is in this, in the rags, he's not interested in that beer. That beer goes down onto the ground. So the Dovah She'elim is coming. Nevertheless, Rav says it's not permitted to do this on Shabbos. So we see that Rav says the Dovah She'elim is coming is osur. How can he say that the first beer can be on Shabbos? Answers the Gemara just a moment. Yer, even Rabbi Shimon, who says that Dovah She'elim is coming is permitted, will agree that in the case of the Mesuchrayot in the Baito, that in the case of the rags of the beer, you can't get your tongue. You must practice your tongue. So that you can say these words, Mesuchrayot in a Zaito. It's easy, you just rip off your tongue. So, the Mesuchrayot in a Zaito. Even Rabbi Shimon would say it's not permitted. Why not? It's a ratio. It's a basic ratio because what it must come out. Once you are Mahadev, you start pushing these rags into the aperture, it must come out. The beer must come out. And since it's a particular, even Rabbi Shimon says it's not permitted. So now we can say, that Rav says the law is like Rabbi Shimon, that Dovah She'elim is coming is mutter, and the first beer can be on Shabbos, because it's a Dovah She'elim is coming, and as far as the Mesuchrayot in Asayis is concerned, different story altogether. That is because there's a particular. And in the case of the beer, we learned that it doesn't have to be a physical ratio because it can be hatoya. Harry, are you with me? Tell me when you're not.
What is the reason that
it's not? Hatoya diversion. It's possible to make a beer without breaking, without rupturing, and without drawing any blood. It's possible. Very unlikely, but it is possible. Yes, sir.
You have not said to the point that including the words of Rav Yabarash.
I haven't come there.
Okay,
just haven't come as far as that. That is from where I started. But that covers what we have learned up now. David?
I'm perfectly honest.
Oh, you're honest? Sure, that's excellent. Is it your second time today or third?
That's
fine. No.
This is my second on Sunday. Six. But I came on the other
side. All right, so we've got 2 seconds here. Right. The second, I get it already, second time here. Now, I want to just start. So until now, let us just get it very clear. Martin, are you with me? Until now, so what we've got. Mesuchrayot in the Zaiso, that's because of the Pesach ratio, it's awesome. But Rav says that the first beer can take place on Shabbos. And what we assume, what is the reason? Because he agrees with Rabbi Shimon that a Dovah She'elim is covered his mutter. Larry, are you finding it tough going?
It's there.
You know, you missed a very important one. You remember. And that you were just in the front. But you'll be able to catch it up now quite easily from now on. Now, if you will look inside, gentlemen, then you'll see how easy it goes on from there. I want you to begin now from the whole Omar Rav, Kio Bar Ashi Omar Rav. Yeah. Oh, Omar Rav, Kio Bar. That Rav couldn't say that you're allowed to make the first beer on Shabbos.
Right.
From the Mesuchrayot in the Zaiso, the Gemara says there's nothing from that, right. Because it's a basic ratio. Right. Right. Yes.
I've got a question for you.
Yes.
Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda were tonight, correct?
Yes.
Rav and Shmuel were early Amoraim.
Yes.
Who would not take the title of first Rav or Rabbi because they felt it was too presumptuous. Yes. Following them, we come up to Amoraim farther out, who are now taking the title of Rav.
That is another thing.
How, what I'm wondering is, how can this be? That these later Amoraims who are learning from Rav and Shmuel can say, well, now we're going to take the title of Rav when our teachers themselves didn't take it.
Look here, in the English tradition, when a man passes his final medical exams, he becomes a doctor. And heaven help any nurse who doesn't address him as doctor. It's as much as her life is worth, never mind the position. But that's as much as her life is worth. Just with him. Immediately the results are out, he hasn't got his diploma, nothing. He's doctor. And every nurse comes to attention and he's doctor. And then he starts studying and he wants to become a surgeon. And he takes his first part of the FRCS, and then he takes his second part. And then the results come out. Heaven help a nurse that doesn't address him as Mr. Now he's Mr. No surgeon in England is doctor. Now he's Mr. And if she just dared address him as... in front of everybody who's shouting, you take off his shoes and he'll throw it at her. Don't you know that I'm Mr.?
So, now, how does that translate over?
Some people don't need the title of doctor. They can manage just as well without it.
So, Mr. Laffan, let me ask you. Sir.
Yes? I knew that was coming.
Do you know where it was coming from?
Know who learns before you.
Right. Right. Now. Say the Gemara, David.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've qualified to be called rabbi already.
From JTS.
No.
Break the Gemara.
Oh.
I want to take credit for that one.
Right. Ask the Gemara.
Ask the Gemara. The Ha'omar Rav Chaye Bar...
Chiyo.
Bar Ashi Omar Rav. The Gemara asks, didn't Rav Chaye Bar...
Rav Chiyo. Didn't Rav Chiyo.
Didn't Rav Chaye Bar Ashi... say that Rav said Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda.
He said Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Go on.
The Rav Chinun.
The Rav Chonon.
The Rav Chonon.
Now, I mean, what are you, Sephardic or Ashkenazi? You made up your mind yet?
You're going to ask me until I switch. So.
Hey, pardon?
You're going to ask me until I switch, right?
So which are, until you switch, which is your?
Sorry.
The Rav Chanan.
The Rav Chanan Bar Ami. Amar Shmuel Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon.
Yes.
And Rav Hanan Bar Ami said that Shmuel said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon.
Yes, go on a little bit further.
Okay. Answer the
Gemara. No, go on. Okay. No.
The Rav Chaye Bar Avin.
Yes.
Avin Matni La. And Rav Chaye Bar Avin.
Yes.
Said.
Matni La means teaches it or learns it.
Uh-huh.
Learns it.
Teens it. Learns it. Love below Gavri, without Tanayim?
Without names.
Without naming people.
Without names, you see. Names, right. He does away with all these names. We had Rav Chiya, the son of Ashi, said that Rav said, and Rav Chonon Bar Ami said that Shmuel said Aloha. But here we've got Rav Chiya Bar Avin learned it as follows without any names. He said, Rav Omar, let's go on, Rav
Omar Halakha Karabi Yehuda, Shmuel Omar Halakha Karabi Shimon.
And Shmuel says...
And Shmuel says that the law is like Rabbi Shimon.
Right. So here we've got it. Absolutely clear statement that we've got a tradition now, clear statement that Rav Paskins like Rabbi Shimon. But we have already taken the first school, that is the school of Suda, the school of Rav, that Rav says, is the first beer permitted on Shabbos or not?
Yes.
So, Rav says that the first meal is permitted on Shabbos, and Rav paskins like Rabbi Yehuda that a dover she'eva miskaven is osur. That's what it says here. So how can we square it? So we have got to understand how Rav, who says that the law is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Adoma She'enam is coming, is Osur, is able to say that the first beer can be on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara. Now the Gemara, that is what the Gemara is going to answer. You follow?
Are we dealing with... I
don't know yet. I haven't looked further than the Gemara. Yes, right. So,
is it answer to the Gemara?
Yes, of course it is.
Yes. Answer to the Gemara, Le'olam, Rav, Rabbi Yehuda. That always Rav is like Rabbi Yehuda.
And the next two words, and drop your voice.
Svira,
right. Svira, yes.
That's his opinion.
Le'olam, the says, in truth, Rav Rabbi Yehuda Svira Le. Rav sides with Rabbi Yehuda. Rav has the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that what? No, what does he... Rav
says that the law is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Adavar She'enam is Kavin, is Asur.
It's also fine.
Right.
So, now, but... Now, this is all in the answer. Yes.
Lahach Lishna, according to the language, the Omar.
Yeah, you're right that Lahach Lishna means according to this language. Lishna is a tongue in Aramaic. Lahach Lishna, according to this tongue, according to this language, but really what it means, according to the version. Lahach Lishna, according to this version. Go on, please.
The Omar Dam Mifka Papi.
Yes.
According to, if we're taking the case, if we say that the blood is down the Dushka Kaki,
yes.
Makalakelahu, Etzel, Hapesa.
Excellent. Very good. What does that mean?
If we say that the blood is Dushka Kaki, and it's Makalakelahu, and it makes it worse, then he's making an opening.
So we've got to get it. We've got to get a circumstance where we can say that Rav says that like Rabbi Yehuda Shadovich Enam is Kavin is Osur, nevertheless the first year can be on Shabbos. So he says, if we'll say it's Dam Mifka Shoki, then what does this person want? Does he want the entrance? Does he want to make an entrance? Or does he want the Dam? He wants the Dam. But he makes an entrance. Very good. But that's a Dover She'enam is Kavin. Aye, but Rabbi Yehuda says, Adover She'enam is Kavin is also.
But I'll tell you it's
Kilkul. But it's Kilkul. He makes a Pesach, but this Pesach according is Makalkel. So we can see that he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and he says the first beer can be on Shabbos. Harry?
Okay, my question is Rav saying it's Makalkel, or is the Gemara saying, since he says it's Uter, it has to be because it's Makalkel?
The Gemara is saying it. All we know are we've got two statements, and these two statements appear to contradict one another. The first statement Rav says is the first beer can be on Shabbos. The second statement is that Rav agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that Adonai Sheinu is Kavin is Osur.
Therefore, the only way he can do that.
The only way we can answer it is, according to the version that says Dam Mifkat Poki, then we say that he wants the Dam, sorry, he wants the Dam. And the Pesach Mamela Kaosi is Adonai Sheinu is Kavin. I, Rabbi Yehuda, say Adonai Sheinu is Kavin is Osur. The answer is, here it is.
Because it's
Makalkel. Yeah, it is Makalkel. So that is the way he answers that part of it. Mark, what do you want to ask?
Even if he wanted the Pesach, wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda say that it would still be Mutter because it's Makalkel? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about where his Kavanah is on the
Shabbat. Absolutely right.
What was that?
You're absolutely right. If Mark says, who says, why have you got to say... Why have you got to say
the
Dam Hutzorich? You can say that he wants to make the Pesach. He wants to make the Pesach. He wants to make the Pesach. With the Pesach, just one moment, and the Pesach is a Dovor Shemiskavet. But since it is, you're quite right. All you've got to say, absolutely right, thank you very much, Mark. All you've got to say is that, all we've got to say, it's easier even than we thought it was. All we've got to say is that, even if you say that he wants the Pesach,
But you've got to say that it is the Kalkel that Rav's opinion is that it is the Kalkel about the Pesach, and since it's a Kilkul, therefore it is Mutter Dibur Sadovish and Miskaven.
A question of procedure then, Rabbi.
Yes?
What allows Rav to say, well, there's the argument that it's Mekalkel, okay, and the argument that it's Mekalkel, I say it's Mekalkel. What then allows him to dismiss the argument?
It's a reductio ad absurdum, because that's the only way we can work it.
I understand how we reconcile Rav's various things.
We're forced to do that. It's like an equation with two unknowns. You're working an equation, you see. You're working out an equation, that's all it is.
I understand that.
You've got what your equation is, that Rav says, Mutter Dibur Techila B'Shabbos. And you've got a second equation, which says, that Rav says, Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda, that Dovish Einu Miskaven is awesome. But how are you going to work it out? There's only one way of working it out, and says that Le Pesach Hu Tzorich, but he's Makalkeleis La Pesach.
I understand that, but my question was, yes. And it may be out of line, you may want to talk about it later, because it's not even on the content of the Gemara.
We'll then leave it for the time being. Let's get on. Let's move on to the yes, come, yes.
So I continue?
Please, I'm waiting.
The Ha'at, Mishna,
yes.
The Dam, Chaboy Mikvar, if we say, Damar, Dam, Chaboy Mikvar, if we say not that the Dam is a Mifkan Paki, but rather the other big possibility that it is Chaboy Mikvar, that it is an exception, a Makalkel, the Chaborahu. And we have to say that you're making it worse in making the wound.
Then the Makalkel b'chaburahu, so he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that a Dovash Enam is Kaven is also. The only thing is that here where he makes the Chabura, he's Makalkel. You say that Rav says he's Makalkel. And he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in Makalkel b'chaburah, that Makalkel b'chaburah is permitted.
So that's what we're
therefore saying. The beer is also permitted.
Oh, without even... But then without having...
There's no issue, because Rabbi Yehuda holds forever that Makalkel holds through Chabura and it mutters you even in Chabura.
What is the Chabura?
Well, why does it say on the previous page? It says,
yes, you see, if we'll say the Pesach Hu Tzorich, then it's a Dovah Shem Iskabel. Then everybody would agree with this also.
Only if it's Makalkel.
Yes. And then the Gemara goes on and says, then we've got to decide whether it is Makalkel or it's Pesachel. You follow Bertale? There we go. Then the Gemara goes on. Dovah Shem Iskabel. Either the Pesach Hu Tzorich or also the Imkin Chavomar, the Dam Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, of course, the Alamaka Rabbi Shimon Dovah Shein is Kavin, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the
Pesach
Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu Tzorich, the Pesach Hu to the Pesach, the second one is the Pesach. If he's a Makalkel to the Pesach, then even if the Pesach Hu Tzorich is rooted, the second one is the Pesach, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be also. You follow how it works out? It works out very nicely. Yes. So, you understand what, if we say that Dam Chaburi Mechba, so, right, so it's a, so even if it's a Dovah She'elam is Kaven, it's also. Isn't that so? Even if the Dovash Ein Miskaven is also. Even if the Dovash Ein Miskaven is certainly, if he wants to really make the wound there, he wants the blood there, not only, if he wants the blood, then it's a Dovash Ein Miskaven. But if he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, then, he says it's a Makalkel, and if we'll say that by making her a woman it's a Makalkel, then it should be Mutter. I'm a Kalkel b'chabura, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, but he says Makalkel b'chabura, he goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Makalkel b'chabura, therefore it will be Mutter. So that is the way we can work it out like both of them. Charles?
Just to clear something up. If it's Ladam Mutsuri, in a case of Chaburi Netpar, certainly would be Asar, unless...
Ladam Mutsuri,
in Chaburi Nefer, in his making wound, he wants the bud, he certainly would be Aser, unless it's Makal Kel.
Yes, that's right, yes, yes, that's what he says, but he would say, he would agree that it's Makal Kel Bakaburo. Have you got the idea? So that finishes the whole thing. Yes,
is the Gemara going to cover as well?
One moment, I'll come to that in a minute.
So,
he wants to know what else did you want to I'll tell you what we'll do. Sol, will you please do the Rashi for me on this? Do the Rashi.
Can I just ask one question? If he wants the blood, and he makes the wound, as long as there's a, as long as it's mekal kale, it's mutar.
It's mutar.
And also, if he doesn't want the blood, but he doesn't want the blood, but he just wants the pleasure.
Yes.
He just has the desire. He makes the wound. If it's mekal kale, it's also mutar.
Fine. Okay. That's right. That is it. That comes out. Comes out very nicely. Sol, will you please do this for me?
From where?
I want it from below Gavri. Yeah.
Hello, Gavri.
Yes. Phil, are you here? Are you comfortable?
Yes.
Are you very comfortable?
Thank you.
So, below Gavri, please, Sol.
Hello, Gavri. Below Amira.
Without
the Amira.
Without these bills.
Bill Kaplan. There he is.
Bill, are you able to follow a bit here?
I follow for you.
Right. Below Gavri, below Amoroi.
Below Amoroi, without anybody stating...
Without Amoroi, Aliba de Rav.
Aliba de Rav, Aliba de Shmuel.
De Shmuel, and according to Shmuel.
La Rav Shmuel Gufeu, but Rav Shmuel saying it for themselves.
For themselves, yes.
La Hach Lishne de Amarta...
De Amrit.
De Amrit, da Mifkat Pocket.
Yes.
Veo Isser Mishum Pesachu, and the Isser then would be because he's making the Pesach. Mekalkalu Eitzel a Pesach. Then, according to Damifkat Park, he would say that even though that Rav holds according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would say to him, it's Mekalkel Etzel HaPesach, or Mekalkel Mode Rabbi Yehuda, and by Mekalkel Rabbi Yehuda is Mode admits that,
it's Mekalkel. And if you say Dam Chaburi, then Mekalkel?
Mekalkel Bechaburahu. But Rav Sovel like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Af Mekalkel Bechaburah, Lekula. Even by Mekalkel, with the Chaburah, Lekula, which they call Potter by Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda makes it Potter.
Yes, although Rabbi Shimon says that Mekalkel b'chabura is chayiv, b'chabura b'avora is chayiv, but yeah, Rabbi Yehuda says it disagrees with him. He says it's Mekalkel, any Mekalkel is mutter.
Even though...
Even it's chabura or...
Even though Rabbi Shimon says...
Rabbi Shimon says no, yes.
Okay.
On the two melachos, he says it. Yeah, but only if it's the Rishkabin, he says. If it's Einam Rishkabin, and even if it's b'chabura, Mekalkel b'chabura, then it's but if he does the Malacha the Miskaven,
who's this, Rav Shimon?
Rav Shimon.
That's right. That's right. And
for example, if he would want the blood, so therefore on the wound is a Dovish Miskaven. So then Rabbi Shimon says, in that case, Makalke Vachabur is also. But if he wants it, Lanoas Atzma, then the wound is a Dovish Enem Miskaven. As soon as the Dovish Enem Miskaven is Mutter, says Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah.
Have you got that?
Yeah.
This is something that you last week you were worried about. Now I've got to ask you another question.
But we still have a...
Pardon? We finished it.
I know, but we still have a problem according to...
Sure, yeah, I'm coming to that.
Oh.
I'm coming to that. Now, we've got a very interesting situation here. First of all, you will have noticed what the Gemara has done. The Gemara, this is the end of the piece of Gemara. Dealing with Rav and Shmuel. So now we know. We know that Rav says that... the first beer can be done on Shabbos. We know that Rav Paskins according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we know how we're going to learn if Dam Yifkat Pocket, how we're going to learn Rav, and we know how we're going to learn Rav if Dam Chaburi Bechpa. But now comes a very interesting thing. Sol wants to know what happens about Shmuel. How are we going to handle Shmuel? Shmuel says that it's not permitted to make the first beer on Shabbos. So we would expect him to say a Dovah She'enam is covenant also. But he says, no, he passes like Rabbi Shimon that a Dovah She'enam is covenant mutter. Now we've got to reverse it. We've got to find a situation where
According to Shmuel, he's not allowed to make the first beer on Shabbos, and yet a Dover She'enam is covering is also. How are we going to work this out? And a Dover She'enam is covering is Mutter. How are we going to work this out? So let us take the first case. Dam Mifkat Pocket. So how are we going to, if it's Dam Mifkat Pocket, he says, I work it out, if Dam Mifkat Pocket says Shmuel, I say that it's not permitted to do the first beer on Shabbos. So what must be his kavona?
The Pesach.
He wants the Pesach. And since he wants the Pesach, is it a Dovah She'enam Miskavim or is it a Dovah She'Miskavim? It's a Dovah She'Miskavim. And what does Rabbi Shimon say with a Dovah She'Miskavim?
Oser.
Oser. So he's all right. So Shmuel is all right. So that's the way Shmuel will learn. You'll follow what's happening. You don't.
Even though it's a Kelkom? Don't worry about the fact that you smile when you so you'd have to say that it's not a kilko.
It's not a kilko, it's a masake. Say it's a masake.
How did you possibly say that?
Why not?
Because
she's a
woman.
When do you evaluate when it's a kilko and when it's a masake?
When it helps
you. It depends what you want takes. The best of you, he would take it to masake. She would. He would take the village to Meshachet. Now, and Chaburi Mechbar, how would you work Chaburi Mechbar? What does he want?
He wants to make it Osir. So he would hold like Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon holds that it's a question of
Chabur. You do it simply, the Dam would solve it. Say that he wants the Dam.
Okay.
And if he wants the Dam, then he's a Dovish and he's covered, he makes the Chabur, and it's a Dovish and he's covered, and he's also. That is the way Shmuel would learn it.
Couldn't we even learn it? Didn't
Shmuel
also
back
to the point of saying that
it's...
Is he
unraveled? But how does that differ from the
Tabitha? Oh, I see. Mr. Lappin? Dr. Lappin?
Yes, what is it you want?
Couldn't we also learn it that Shmuel would say that it is Lohanat Atmo, but hold it. Let's say it's Lohanat Atmo, but it's Kyoko, but hold Kyoko like Rabbi Shimon.
That's just what I was saying.
Yeah.
That's a harder way of doing it.
If,
why not?
Yeah. If my left ear is itching, you eat this way. But okay. Why should I do this way when I can do it this way?
You may have a proclivity to do it that way.
That's all it is, yes?
My question really, we covered this, but my question really was according to the what the students of Nehardar used to say, that Shmuel said it was Mutter.
Right? Exactly.
According to Shmuel, we now discover Shmuel's like Rav Shimon. What would he say if we all come?
I covered that, but I don't think you were ready for it. So we can see how the Gemara is going. The Gemara accepts what the school of Rav said about Rav and Shmuel. That's the way the Gemara accepts it. So we know which way we are going.
I'm asking now, okay, that would be, so the question you say should have come up on top of it when they first said that.
There's one line where it's, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak says that the Simonech, Ilu Makilin Le'atman.
Ilu Makilin Le'atman, Ilu Makilin
Le'atman. Right, and that, I think that's very relevant to what Saul's concerned about, is it not? In other words, that each school is making it lighter on itself.
That's right.
But after the school of Shmuel, now that we know, how can the school of Shmuel say that he holds its mutter, now that we know that that Shmuel holds according to what it's a Rav Shimon?
No. What happens is, but what in Surah, how did it come down from Surah?
From Surah came out that Rav held its mutter, Shmuel said it's
Osir. Mm-hmm. How does the Gemara accept it? Does it accept the way it came down from Surah or the way it came down from Nardor?
From Nardor.
But the problem I have, though, is that it appears to me that the Gemara it first chooses to ask on Rav. Okay? So how do we come to this conclusion? Rav Shari?
Yes. Okay. So when it says Rav Shari, does it accept the version of the school of Surah or of Nahardor?
The question is, has it
just
already...
1 minute, according to the school of Surah right now.
Right.
Well, but that means we don't even ask according to the school of Nahardor?
No.
Right.
So obviously, because the Gemara is taken that the authoritative one is a Surah, not Nardor.
I thought it's taken it because that was the first one that came up.
No.
The Veda Lama Rav Sharish Mulas.
You don't just take the first. You can take the first. You can say because they considered it to be the most authoritative, therefore they put it first. That you can say. But you can't say just because it comes first, it's not magic.
He follows what I'm saying, so he follows.
Okay, so,
you could work it the other way. You could say, because it's more authoritative, therefore they put it first. That's a good question. Got it.
So, in other words, what you're saying is that the Gemara doesn't pursue. If we have two cases that are brought down, and then we ask questions on one, and concludes with that one, and doesn't say anything more about the matter, it shows that the Gemara is passing according to that one.
You find that Rambam will pass like that.
That's remarkable.
And you find that the Rambam passes like that. I'm not giving you. We don't know yet what the outcome is going to come here. We don't know what the outcome is going to come here. That we don't know yet. But we can see the tendency is going. There might be other considerations too, but we can already see the tendency that we can see. But here you can see that the Gemara ignores the school of Lamdor. Tosfos asks your question. So what happens to Shmuel? And answers as you answered. That little Tosfos. According to Shmuel, you can also. He agrees with Rabbi Shimon. He wants the Pesach. And it's a drama he's covering with the Pesach, and you don't have to go further. There he needs the dam.
So then it becomes. Then you have to get the dam. And therefore it's
prohibited. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, because there's a dog
right.
Discussing
with
him.
Oh, but she's like, that's not a question.
Exactly as we answered it. That little Tosfos just covers that. And now we've covered that whole piece. Is anybody wants to ask anything down there? Rabianka David? Vitalo, you seem to be getting into it now. Yes?
Excuse me, Mr. Lappin. Then I guess we can conclude, pardon me, gentlemen.
Yes,
carry on. Actually, the Tosfos comes to tell us the other side of the argument on Rav. It gives us the other side of the Surah argument. It says, the other way in
yes,
Rav,
right.
Mr. Shmuel.
Yes.
But it doesn't come to tell us the fact that we haven't learned Shmuel's reasoning. If Shmuel had said it was Shari,
But we accept that.
In our door, Shmuel
permitted. So we ignore our door altogether. And we take only the school of Sura.
Because that's the way that Gemara asks.
What is
the
Rav
Shari?
So we take the whole school of Nahardor was the first school that stopped exist, that ceased to exist. Sura and Pumbedisa went on and on and on and on and on. In fact, they still go on. But in the modern yeshivas, we've got the Sura and Pumbedisa. Nahardor, for some reason or other, stopped. But you can see that the tendency is here according to Sura. Yes, Harry?
Now, what I'm wondering is why this whole question was brought up about Rav and Shmuel at all. And the only reason I can see would be to clarify, because we finally say that, you know, we're going with Rav, and we see earlier that Rav says according to Rabbi Yehuda as opposed to Shimon, correct? Shmuel says according to Shimon, and Rav says according to Yehuda.
Just say it again. I'm sorry. I was just. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And just to repeat that for me.
All right. We established a tradition here a couple of times that Rav is going to say according to Rabbi Yehuda and
according to Rabbi Shimon.
Right. And then we say that we're going to go according to Rav. So the implication, you know, my whole question is why do we even bring up Rav and Shmuel in this controversy? And the only reason I can see is a confirmation of Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Shimon. Is there?
Yes, there's certainly a lot in that. But there's another very important consideration, and I haven't dealt with this subject at all with you. But since we've already been at it a little while, I'll give you the opportunity of just sitting back for only for a few minutes, and I'll be able to explain this to you, the point that Harry brings up. We Paskin always like the locks, like the more recent one, provided he's an authority. You understand, Harry?
Like most recent
ones. Yes, now let us say the Bala Locus de Domus did his code in around about in the 9th century. Then came the Rift, and he did his code in the 11th century. So we go according to the Rift now.
because he superseded the Baradokhi, the more recent one. Then the Rambam did his in the 12th century. So now, this is superseded there, if we go according to the Rambam. The Tur did his in the 14th century. So now, we leave the Rambam, we go to the Tur. The Shulchan Aruch did his in the 16th century. So we leave now the Tur, and now we accept the Shulchan Aruch, and that is our last case.
That's a very...
Just one moment. I'm finished here.
That doesn't
also mean today, right? Today we don't go that way. Though. Yes, we do. We still do that?
Yes.
Unless you find him where it's better than now that we will go. Well, it's our experiment. But we always go according to the most recent one, provided that it is an authority. And an authority is not a person who sets it up as a authority. He sets himself up as an authority. That's not an authority. And an authority is not a person whom the government sets up as an authority. That's not an authority. An authority is a person who rises, who doesn't want to be an authority, and refuses the position that the government wants to give him, and he himself rises head and shoulders above everybody else. That is an authority, see? Now, if you've got an authority like that...
Anything you want to say?
No, I'm sorry, I'm sitting up. My standing bothers you all.
No, sorry, it is. All right. I think if you won't come here,
now I will. I wouldn't have thought so before.
So we always question and question. Like this, they don't know whether you are giving the cue.
The look of authority I have. The look of authority on my face.
He's setting himself up for the story. I didn't want to put you to send me the word.
So, if that is the case, it's very important for us to know Rav and Shmuel, because they are long after Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. And now we have come down to a case where, you know, Rav and Shmuel. And in certain matters, Rav is stronger, in certain matters, Shmuel is stronger, you see. So at least we are coming nearer to it. It's very important for us to know what are the views of Rav and Shmuel. They are later ones. Have you got that, Harry? Does that answer your question?
Okay. In other words, it's the exact opposite of what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Which was it?
Because it's a new question.
What is your new question?
The new question is that on the theory of the degeneration of the generations,
yes,
that the previous authorities will be the greater men.
That's right. I want to tell you something, David. There are giants in the world. And there are dwarfs in the world. But if a dwarf climbs and he sits on the shoulders of a giant, he sees first. That's why the later one is so important.
And why he
knows what the previous one has said.
How can a dwarf say, how can he say, with the humility that will always go with being, you know, a giant in his own way,
yes.
How can that dwarf say that this man whose shoulders I am sitting on, there's something in the way he's seeing it that isn't quite right, and I can't see further? How can he say I can see further?
Because he's got more information to hand.
And he can say that, and he can have the confidence that the extra quantity of information will more than make up for the lack of quality in his power.
He's got the right to do that. He's got the right to do that. So we paskin according to the Shulchan Aruch, and in the Shulchan Aruch we paskin according to the Meisher Yitzchak. The Meisher Yitzchak is a little bit later.
After the Shulchan Aruch?
Yes.
Is there a code that supersedes that?
Yes. The Mogen Avraham comes there.
Which is when?
100 years later. Mm-hmm. And after that, it goes, and then comes the Mishnah Brura. That is the Chofetz Chaim. Now, what the Chofetz Chaim does is there are different views already, and he sort of decides amongst the different views. He decides. But then there is another thing. You see, what happens also when you speak about the dwarf. What the dwarf does, and please forgive me for using this word.
Yeah, but I'm
just giving you the example, you see. Now, when the dwarf gets onto the giant, what he also does is he takes a lot of the other views. And that still doesn't relieve the person who's got to make a decision how he's going to make a decision. Because I can still make a decision against the Shulchan Aruch. Can still make a decision against the Shulchan Aruch.
For example, if it is a she'asagak, and it is the extraordinary circumstances. Give a case again. See, you don't know in America what life is. You really don't know. It's such an affluent country. You don't know what it is. But I've seen it. I've seen a woman going with two pillows in the morning up the street. And the person who was going with me said, you know what that is? She's going to pawn two pillows to pay for the Muhammad for the son. So that she can give the Muhammad his few cents for teaching her son. She doesn't want him to have to wait. Because she knows that if he waits, he hasn't got anything to eat. But she hasn't got any money. Oh, you can't imagine anything like that. You don't know what it is.